So the next item of business is a discussion with the folks from New York. And it's listed as 45 minutes. Can we trim 5 minutes off it and make it 40 minutes so that we can get done? Does anybody object to doing 40 minutes on this instead of 45? I'm going to steal back some of those 5 minutes we just had. Okay, hearing that. So I guess Indra's going to give a presentation, and then Greg. Greg, after Indra's presentation, are you going to conduct a discussion, or are we just going to ask questions? What do you have in mind?
I have in mind that Indra's got a report. I think Bernard is here. I'd ask him if he wanted to make some comments for about 10 minutes.
What I would suggest is that you think in terms of, again, in terms of business on the one side and programming on the other. That's what we're trying to do. To keep focusing on the area of programming as much as we possibly can, and that's why I asked Bernard to come.
This is Lani's PowerPoint. First of all, I want to.
I just
want to thank Eva, KPFK, for hosting this wonderful event. I want to also thank Donna Gates. She's been really helpful. And I want to thank Eva again, because when I first came on board 10 months ago, I appealed to all the GMs for ideas for hot premiums, what will work for other states and may work for us. And immediately, Eva FedExed me loose change. And we have been making money with loose change as of our last drive. Thanks, Eva. And she's the only one who responded to my plea. Anyway, the new kid on the block, and you know, I really appreciate that. Okay. And not so much of a kid. First, I had problems with my laptop with in terms of email and printing and all of that. So I have to read my statement. I don't have a hard copy. And first, I'll talk about the state of the station. The winter fund drive missed the goal by 53,000. Our goal was 950,000. We raised 897. Now, in the green book, there's a typo. It says 997, but it's supposed to be 897. So I wish we really did have 100,000 more, but it's really a typo. For the fiscal year, our accumulated shortfall is 168K, 115,000 for the last winter drive, the fall drive, and now we have an additional 53,000. However, we are current on our payables. We have enough funds to take us through mid-May. So we are hoping we'll get a CPB grant soon. 10 months ago, we had a deficit over 350,000. Today, despite the fact that this fiscal year we're off track by 168, I can say that we are in the black. Thanks to our dedicated staff, our listeners, our volunteers, a handful of LSP members, only a handful show up to answer the phones, and our supporters who always come through for us. How did we do it? I'd say team spirit. 90% cooperation from the paid staff, 75% cooperation from the unpaid staff, 150% cooperation from the volunteers. I think it's about 20% cooperation from the LSB. I wish they would participate more, and perhaps we'll have less fighting. We have networked into many communities. I have gone on many meetings, meeting new communities to work as outreach, because we do not have an outreach coordinator. We've tapped into the Brazilian community, the Chinese community, the Caribbean community, and right now I'm working with someone in who network with all the stores of Jamaica. And so hopefully we'll have a concert in about a month or so to have outreach with the Jamaican community. And also we form alliances with non-profit organizations like the Riverside Church. New York Society for Ethical Culture, SUNY Graduate Center of New York. Within the past 7 days, we had 4 events. March 18, we had a health seminar, and this seminar was really designed to remind us of our interconnectedness with nature and the beneficial medicinal properties nature provides through complex plants, flowers, and trees. And it seems like throughout the 20th century, a lot of ancient accumulated traditional wisdom has been thrown away in the fields of medicine, architecture, agriculture, and education. It appears that baby was thrown out with the bathwater. So the health seminar is really designed to bring the baby back. That was one of the seminars that we had recently. The second one was Democracy Now! Organized an evening with Harry Belafonte. That was a huge success. And the event was organized by Amy, and our PD Bernard was one of the key speakers. And this was in celebration of the 10th anniversary of Democracy Now! March 19th, we had readings of writers of color. The objective of this event was to give the audience an opportunity to interact with authors to get a better understanding of some of the difficulties writers of color face in the world of literature. Also, it was the outreach tool. On March 22nd, we had a major donor cultivation party. At BAI, this segment of our audience had been neglected for a long time, and the party was to get him back on track. And so WBI is too. WBBI is still the lifeline for our listeners. They are disgusted by the distortions of the mainstream media in a time when the government has been promoting nothing but war and divisions among nations. What we are weak, we need to establish protocols in place to have open communication with the programming department and to have producers' input before changes are made regarding programming. We have to cater to needs of our diverse listenership. They pay our bills and they are our bosses. We need to adapt to our changing environment. We are no longer the only game in town. We need to evaluate, make necessary programming changes that can move WBI forward. We need to expand our listener base. We need more women of color in programming. We need to increase our visibility. One of the things that we're doing to increase our visibility is one of our donors recently made a contribution of $15,000 to put up billboards and make posters so we can put it in bodegas and in the community. That should start within another 2-3 months. So we already have to check. But the gentleman who gave the donation is away, and someone else is spearheading that effort. And most of all, we need more indigenous women in our station. We have one indigenous show, but we need to see the presence of more indigenous people. We need a safe and equitable work environment. And I'm surprised that incidental violence have been downplayed, because it's real, it's happening. I've been the victim of verbal abuse more than 3 times in the last month or so. I'll talk about that a little bit, but before I talk about that, I have to give a little background. about my previous position at BAI. Our future plans are our spring drive is scheduled for May 8th, 2006. That's a tentative date. That's about when we usually start. We have Clearwater Festival in June 17th and 18th. We have African Arts Festival on July 4th. Our mini drive is scheduled for July 10th. A book fair in August and Caribbean Labor Day Parade in September. And also we have a black tie affair in November to launch our capital campaign building fund. Because we're paying $650,000 a year on rent. $650,000 a year rent. We could have owned 46 years we've been doing radio. It's about time we start getting our own building. Also, you know, I thought about a major donor cultivation party. That's for the major donors. But not to mention that we want to retain the new members who pay $25. We are planning an appreciation party for the new members who contribute $25 because they are just as important as the folks who give $25,000. And the Black Tie Affair in November, that is to launch our building fund. So I'll need help from everyone who has that kind of skill. I already see both help from one of the development directors from KPFA. So, my next page conditions I've been forced to work in, I have to give you a little background. There are certain staff, LSB members, and producers at the station who never ever wanted me to be the IGM from the inception and have never hesitated from showing it. So that's a fact. As business manager, after the Take Back Pacifica, except for Valerie Van Isler, who was in the same position I am in today, she was attacked almost on a weekly basis by a different member of staff, and she took it quietly. Folks, I am not going to take it quietly. I'm not going to swallow, because I'm a woman, and I'm a woman of color, I'm not going to take it abuse. So Valerie took it for a number of years until she was so demonized that she was turned as the enemy, and really she was never the enemy. All she was trying to do is to stay objective and not to belong to any of the camps. So she was basically the independent party, and that's where I am. I'm the independent party. I do not believe in any factions or anything like that. Anyway, okay. So I was saying, after the Pacific Take Back, the folks who were banned fired held resentment for the folks who were not banned fired. But they simply ignored the contribution of the staff, both paid and unpaid, who kept the institution going. They had no idea how unpleasant the working environment was. And I don't even think that they care. And the last thing I want to say is, that we need to have dialogue with the programming department and perhaps mediation, but we need to work, if we want to move the station forward, we need to have a lot of dialogue and communication, because so far I've been sitting in the IGM desk for 10 months and any kind of programming changes or any kind of preemptions, any special programming. I've not been included. I've not been told. And one of the reasons is that I've been accused of not being qualified in radio or programming, and that's the reason why I'm not included. Perhaps, I don't know if that's the whole reason. I think it's because I'm a woman. And in any event, that's my report, and thank you very much.
Before we go to any questions, Greg, you had said you wanted to ask Bernard to speak, and then after Bernard has spoken, then we'll take questions from the board. And Bernard, if you could take maybe about 10 minutes or so, is that all right?
Okay. Okay. First of all, I want to thank Greg Hulmer for inviting me to come out this afternoon and make a presentation. As you know, we don't get this opportunity I don't get the opportunity too often. And there are a lot of things that have been said. I really would like you to ask me questions about those things. I won't deal with them right now. Just deal with part of the presentation I want to make. I changed it what happened last night, and now it seems like I need to change it again, but I'll just go with what's here. First of all, as I said, I want to thank you for inviting me to speak to you this afternoon about some of the important issues confronting WBAI. In order to understand what is going on at WBAI, one must have an appreciation of the context in which our history is unfolding. We are suffering from what I characterize as post-traumatic coup syndrome. This syndrome has various elements. I want to share some of these elements with you today so that you may have a greater understanding of what is in fact occurring at WBAI. I also have some documents to pass out to you. Perhaps that can happen now. Contrary to manipulated beliefs, we're not just a bunch of crazies. There are some extremely hardworking people at WBAI dedicated to the Pacifica mission, but whose positive efforts are being weakened by the unconstructive, polarizing counteractivities of others. Although the primary players who executed the events that led to a nationwide campaign to rescue Pacifica are gone, many of their supporters are still around and are openly collaborating with a small but well-financed group of individuals who are actively involved in a public campaign to destabilize WBAI. It was about a year ago when I came to the PMB meeting that was held in Washington, D.C. to bring this issue to your attention. I was seeking your assistance in eliminating what I perceived to be an escalating problem with distinct racist overtones that would increasingly impact on the financial solvency of WBAI. It was my hope at that time that you would recognize the problem and act accordingly. Many of you who are here now were not a part of the PMB at that time. However, once again, I'm asking you to gain an appreciation of what is happening at WBAI and recognize the negative consequences it must be having on our ability to meet our escalating financial obligations. WBAI's LSV, to its credit, in recognition of the seriousness of this issue, has disassociated itself from the comments of this destructive campaign's chief architect, financier, and spokesperson. You have before you a copy of the most recent attack on the station. It meticulously and in great detail describes an event that never took place. These venomous poison pen emails have been distributed across the country and throughout our listening community for years without any challenge from people in authority in Pacifica. I get calls from friends around the country as well as in our listening area who want to know what's going on in WBAI. Last week, my landlord asked me what is going on at the station because he received a copy of one of these emails. The author of these emails is quite prolific. He spits them out on a regular basis, either before or shortly after one of our drives. I'm sure that members of this august body have probably been the recipients of a few of these misguided missives over the years. I'm sure that there are those who receive these fabrications and believe that since this person is a WBAI board member, his allegations have some validity. I'm also sure that some of those individuals have decided that they are not going to donate money to an institution that is engaged in the activities that are alleged in these emails, and I don't blame them. They accuse the station of being homophobic, racist, anti-Semitic, misogynist, etc., etc., etc. Pacifica stations all exist on a very delicate balance that has a special feature, a unique trust in our institutions. It is that trust that separates us from commercial outlets and moves our listeners to support us with their monetary donations. As long as we can maintain that trust, we will survive. Once that trust is shattered, we can begin to count the days to our demise. The activities of this group are undermining the trust that we have developed over the years. The fact that it is also a personal attack on me is significant, but not nearly as important as what it is doing to the institution. I've chosen not to engage in a public urinating contest. I have been waiting and calling for an institutional response to actions that are the antithesis of what Pacifica and WBAI stands for. Hopefully, we're closer to the day that a decisive response emerges from this institution. Now I want to turn to the issue of programming. I had another presentation prepared, as I said, but as you may recall, last evening some of my colleagues passed out some information about items about which they have some concerns. I think that's a good thing, because it illustrates that there is also an internal component to the problems that I face as program director in this period. I didn't get a copy of their materials, so I haven't read them. I didn't even know they were coming. However, I want to speak briefly about each issue. The issue of Gary Nell and Robert Knight are personnel issues, and it would be improper to discuss the details of their severed relationship with WBAI in a public forum. However, the issue of a gag rule at WBAI is a bogus issue, but an important one nonetheless. There is no gag rule at WBAI. If you talk to the producers and ask them if I have ever told them that they could not discuss any issue, you will find that I have never spoken to anyone about topics that they could not talk about on their program. What I have said, however, is that the air is not the proper place to discuss issues that can only be resolved through internal dialogue. I have also said that the air is not the place to level attacks against their colleagues and listeners. Yet and still, some producers have turned this type of radio into an art form. They're still on the air and continue to exhibit this behavior. So once again, there is no gag rule at WBAI. Latino programming. I am unaware of the contents of what was passed out last night by WBAI News Director Jose Santiago as it relates to Latino programming at WBAI. But here is some information about what is in fact the growth of Latino-produced programming at WBAI. In this post-coup period, I've added a variety of Latino producers and Latino-specific programs to our weekly schedule. Luis Reyes Rivera does a weekly arts program called Perspectives. Professor Howard Jordan does a weekly public affairs program entitled Jordan's Journal. We've added a weekly Spanish language public affairs program entitled La Voz Latina. In April, we will be adding, now I hear it's May, the 30-minute Latino national news program. This issue is not about Latino programming at WBAI. It is about a few Latino producers who have misled segments of the Latino community, and now you, by telling them that programs produced and hosted by Latino producers are under attack and about to be eliminated. What has in fact happened is that out of a 4-hour block of Latino music, primarily salsa, that we air each Sunday, I've attempted to inject a 1-hour bilingual program that would explore the newly emerging political realities in South and Central America and their nexus to U.S. foreign policy, hosted by a young Latino collective. The name of the program is Lengua Suelta. It not only will explore South and Central America, but also Latin Caribbean nations and the plight of immigrant populations domestically and particularly in our listening area. You might ask why, since that Latino programming is being added and there is now more Latino produced programming and more Latino producers than there ever has been at WBAI, what is the problem? The problem is that this newly formed collective is in opposition to my adding this program during a time that they believe belongs to them. I disagree with their premise. This time belongs to WBAI to organize in a manner that it feels will best serve its listening audience and generate revenue. Further, they have used the airwaves to mislead the Latino community into believing that Latino producers are being threatened. Once again, no gag rule has been employed. Anyone who rejects their arguments is accused of being at best insensitive to Latino concerns or at worst, anti-Latino. Any Latinos who object are accused of not really being Latino. In the final analysis, I believe that the faulty basis of their arguments will be revealed. In the interim, I believe that an unavoidable, unnecessary battle will ensue. There is a lot more that I want to share with you, but time does not permit. So, in closing, I'm reminded of a poem by Maya Angelou. And I was told that it's "And Still I Rise," but I think it's "And Still We Rise." In spite of the deliberate, overt attempts by a small and dwindling group to sabotage our efforts, we continue to move forward. During my tenure as program director, we have increased the number of youth who are involved in programming, and they have made their way into prominent, responsible positions in the radio production process. We have doubled the number of women who are directly involved in our programming. These women produce programs on a wide variety of issues from their perspective. I must note that this perspective needs to be broadened to include women from a wider variety of communities and experiences. However, we have made a start. One of the country's most rapidly increasing populations results from the nationwide expansion of the prison industrial complex. This rapid expansion places a massive amount of pressure on the communities that supply the inhabitants of these prisons. In response to this caustic social phenomenon, we now have a regularly scheduled prison program that addresses the issues of the prison population, the families of the prisoners, and the communities to which they return. This program also provides our listeners with a behind-the-walls view of prison life and the crime-generative factors that have directed large segments of our population into incarceration. This program is conceptualized, produced, and executed by male and female former prisoners. I would like to see this program become available to a national audience. In the area of health...
Bernard, it's been about 15 minutes, so if you have a sum-up statement, then we could do some of this in Q&A and get the rest of your comments in writing so we have a full list of the programming.
Okay, I have...
How much time is left from this presentation?
Well, in the whole item, we have now about 14 minutes for questions and answers for all of it out of 45 minutes.
I'll stop here because I'm sure that there, as a result of what has been happening here, there probably are a lot of questions that people have. I want to make sure that we get an opportunity to address it. So I will leave it there, and thank you.
Yeah, and I suspect we're going to need to extend time beyond just 10 more minutes because I just have this feeling, I don't know. So can we agree that we'll spend about 20 more minutes on Q&A from here? Is that all right? So we don't have to interrupt the flow of conversation? Okay, but hearing no objection. Oh, God. We'll start with Lisa. We'll go around.
Needless to say, we heard quite a bit here this evening. And some of it, I wasn't even that familiar with. I just want to say one thing real quickly, because whenever I hear the term false allegations of racism, especially considering some of the comments that were made describing two black men as frothing by the mouth and aping each other, describing the black community, this was by an LSD member, as being an area where you get gunned down, knife almost every day, not to mention other insensitive comments made. And when I hear people talk about false allegations of racism and they don't address that, it shows me what sides they're choosing, because I think that's very insensitive. And I just want to remind everybody real quickly, you saw a tremendous gathering today of people gathering out in the street and marching and all of that kind of stuff. I want to remind everybody that didn't happen because of freedom and everybody had these rights. You know, remember, go back and view the tapes and see who were the ones that were being beat and attacked with, you know, dogs and stuff like that. They were also accused of making a lot of false allegations to them, too. I'm on their side all the time, and we need to go back and review that history, definitely. Quite a few things were said, Indra. One of the things that I would like to specifically ask you about, I know you've made some allegations, such as, you know, you're being under attack and how you felt things were going, and about certain LSD members disliking you and stuff, and I've always been of the belief that when people make any kind of allegations, they should be a little bit more pointed and with fact. And one of the things, and especially since Brett Duma spoke to this earlier, and this is how a lot of rumors get started, and I think it needs to be addressed, which is why I'm going to bring this up. But at an LSB meeting, you made an allegation, and I don't have the exact wording, but an allegation about there being fraud. This was how the issue came up. You know, and the questions came up asking what was going on, and what was going on with the national office, and the CFO from the national office being in New York. But you made at a public meeting allegations indicating that there was fraud going on and corruption. I think corruption was the word that you used. And without backing it up, it appears that there was nothing factual about it at all. So I would just like to ask how you reconcile with that, because a lot of people making a lot of allegations that are not factual, and if they are, they're not presenting anything with it. And again, certain allegations, remember, we have one example, you said that, and we hear something completely different. So okay. How did you come to that?
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
Anyway, before you go there, if it's something that is properly a confidential matter, I want to do it in an executive session. I don't want to have a discussion about anything that could give us some liability in this public session. So go ahead and answer. After that, I want to ask the board members to restrict their comments to 90 seconds. We have well more than 10. That's 15 minutes right there with no response from either of that.
Just so it's understood, my characterization of it was that it was a problem of miscommunication, and I think that to politicize my comments would be
I wasn't doing that. I was just commenting what you said. I wasn't politicizing anything.
Can you respond to that?
Well, it wasn't a false allegation. Something happened where a member went to a bank or local bank without telling me anything and took an ex-member of the board of the national office to get a PIN number for valid reasons, but because it wasn't communicated, the bank called me saying that this person is no longer signatory in the account. What is he doing at the bank, or what was going on? And because I didn't know about the other person going to the bank to establish a PIN for doing business at national level, it was necessary for them to get a PIN to do some banking, actually reviewing bank reconciliation. But had they communicated that to me, I would have gone to the bank because the person was about, one of the people was a valid signatory in the account, but the other person was not. And the person, as a matter of fact, the other person was taken off, I think it was September of last year, so the person wasn't a signatory in the account for over 6 months. So it's not an allegation, it happened.
But you think about corruption.
Do you want to respond to that?
Well, okay.
Crazy, that's corruption. I don't.
No, I wasn't referring to that as corruption. I was referring to other corruption that happened at the station. There were many incidents of corruption. I'll be all night telling you about them.
I'm not interested
in
a public discussion about this. Just so people know, comments like this actually affect a lot of things if lawsuits ever happen. They can say, following was said in public session, da-da-da. And just so everybody understands, when we get sued, it's a big problem for us. So we're going to do this in executive session. I'd like to give an opportunity for the non-DNI directors to ask questions. I'll finish with the DNI directors. So was it Teresa? Go ahead. And I've asked Deb to time it at 90 seconds.
I have four very quick questions. Number one, if you say that people verbally on staff, that you're supervising them, and they verbally or physically make attacks, why would you not counsel them and have them banned from the building? Because I don't understand why. I mean, I certainly wouldn't supervise somebody that attacked me, was insubordinate, physically or psychologically intimidating.
Verbal abuse, I think we can work it out, but it seems like we can't. We'll try to have some sort of mediation and try to work it out. The other folks that were part of physical violence, there are three different people who were banned from the station. Within the past 10 months. The other person who came in recently was banned before, but for some reason wasn't banned by me. That was prior to my time, but he was there, I think, earlier this week.
Okay, so these people have been dealt with, and you're working with the HR director, so it's not just complaining about a situation that nothing's been done about.
No, one situation still exists where one of my colleagues and I have some kind of problem. We have
hopefully
problems.
Expeditiously handled. Yeah. Thank you. I have to say, in January, when I heard your report, you talked about youth programming. I happen to know that youth program is over 2 years old, so it doesn't sound new. And you're talking about a prison show, and it sounds like you're suggesting that it's innovative, but how long has that show been on the count? I mean, years, right?
It's been on for years, but what I was trying to... I stopped my report, so...
But as a board member, I want to know what you're doing to do things that are positive and innovating, not kind of suggest that thing that shows that have been on. I mean, unless it's won an award, you can say such and such. I want to hear something that's new. So can you tell me something that's new about women's programming or youth programming or a program that's
sure,
new?
Sure, yeah. What I was attempting to do with one of the programs we did, they had a group of younger people called Lingua Suelta.
And is it new? Is it started yet?
It's frankly new.
When did it start?
It started about, it's been a pilot project. So it hasn't really started yet.
Hasn't started.
Right. But they've been on the air a couple of times.
Okay.
And it is a group of young people who have connections with.
That's right. What about
I'm going to cut it off because we're going to allot 90 seconds to board members to ask a question, about a minute and a half for a response. Otherwise, it'll just bog down. Many members want to speak. Do you have a final comment in 20 seconds
or less? When I only have 90 seconds and I ask the question fairly quickly, I would think, yes, no, here's the program. You should be able to respond within 90 seconds.
And
give me an answer.
Okay. Did I see another hand over on this side of the Okay, over here, Todd.
Yes, I don't know if you're going to correct this, but during public comment today, we had some public comment that I think kind of shocked the board and kind of like had a great impact. It was from a person of color who had been physically assaulted and allegedly, or he's not alleging, I'm saying he said he was physically assaulted, and that the individual who physically assaulted him is now allowed back in the station. Now, I don't want to specifically focus in on one incident, but then we hear from a woman of color who's the general manager of WBAI that she feels she has been abused. My question really has to do with the whole culture of WBAI and whether or not there is a culture of respect, whether the general manager is like in charge and the program director feels that the general manager is in control of the station and there's a collaborative relationship going on. I guess my question to both is there kind of a culture at WBA at the present time that could be in any way threatening to people who enter the building? Or is oppressive or abusive on a continuing basis?
I would say no. Not you know, there are a few instances. It's happening one time too many, but it's happening. And there are some folks who can be quite aggressive over there. And the incident that happened before my time was real, where Paul Ashby was choked, kicked, and his shirt was even ripped off his shoulder.
And
that happened.
And kicked, and his shirt was ripped. Was there a police report?
To add to that, when the incident happened, I was in the building. In fact, I'm the one who separated Paul and the guy, one who pulled the guy off of Paul. There's some assumption that whenever somebody comes in, that for some reason I know them. This is just a volunteer. I don't know this person. I don't know where they live. I never met them except outside, inside WBA.
I'm going to interrupt. Point of we're not going to be discussing incidents like this. There's going to be, we have grievance processes within the foundation. There should be investigations of any claim. There's a way to deal with this.
Mr. Chairman, I was trying to form a question about a tone in the station, and I regret, I believe I did mention specifics, but I think the response could be to the culture or the tone at WBA, and not to go to specific incidents.
But Renard, we're sort of at time on this question. If you can just quickly address anything you might be able to do with perspective.
I agree with him. And that is not the tone. There have been some incidents, yes. When you in New York City, you bring in a lot of people off the street, that those kind of things happen. Unfortunate, but they do. But I don't think that's the tone at the station.
Rosalinda and Mary Sandy. I'm coming all the way down the line, and you just have to ask your colleagues to your
right.
Yeah,
I just heard a couple of things, too, that were pretty disturbing. In regards to this group of Latinos, Lengua Suelta, when you made the decision to bring the group in, did you meet with the current Latino staff and the interim ED when making this change?
I didn't meet with the ED, but
GM?
No, I didn't meet with the GM. It is not customary that we do that. I mean, it wasn't done to slight the GM. But I met with the group of current producers, and I asked them, I said, here's some young folks, I'd like you to take them in and begin to work with them on doing a program that is focusing on the issues that I had mentioned, with the developments in Latin and Central America. And they agreed to do it. And then within a couple of days, I received a letter saying that they wouldn't, that they weren't going to do it. And that the letter also suggested that I was taking away Latino programming, which is not the case at all.
Mary?
Yes, my question was that the Indra mentioned that she was not talking about new programming changes or special programming, and that she was told this was because she had no radio experience. You, as the PD, would be the person to be speaking to her, I presume, and I'm wondering what this means.
Well, Indra and I have had discussions about programming, and one of the things I said that what we need to do is we need to sit down and talk about the issue of programming. We need to discuss what is good programming, how is the schedule formulated, why do we do certain things? Because coming from her background as a bookkeeper, I thought that she would be able to benefit from that. I also would like to see her talk to other people about the issue of programming, because we need to have an understanding of programming. But the only time I've ever spoken to Indra about programming, it was when she was telling me what it is that she wanted to see in terms of programming, what I should do in terms of programming. And I told her, I said, look, we need to sit down and have that kind of discussion.
I've heard a lot in the last few minutes, and I'll try to be brief, but post-Coutts syndrome, email characterization, just that. And that's not the point here. It was said, escalating financial obligations. So dealing with finances, you deal with expenses and revenue. So I have a question for each of you. On the revenue side, it's driven by programming. So I'd like to know, what is the policy of getting new programs on the air WBAI, I think there is one. And on the expense side, I'd like to know, last year we made some staff cuts at WBAI, unpopular albeit. Are there plans to reevaluate the size of the staff, adjust that again to match the declining revenue that's being taken in through on-air fundraising? Thank you.
Actually, I am looking at that option again. It's unfair to cut more staff because we're already working with a skeleton crew. And it's not a staff fault that we're not meeting our goals, or it's not a staff fault that we're not getting new streams of revenue. But we will have to make some more cuts in the near future.
How many FTEs constitute a skeleton crew?
We have 18 full-time. And, I think it's equivalent to about 24 or 25 full time.
Thank you. On the program side?
One of the reasons why I talk about the emails is because I think that those emails have an impact on our ability to raise revenue, because they go out by the thousands to our listenership. And you receive these things over time, you get the question why you should. Now, about a process by which programs become a programming process, well, it comes by a variety of different ways. We have a program council that meets to discuss programming. We have a pilot project where we bring programming in and give them an opportunity to be on the air so that we can hear what they sound like and then begin to evaluate whether or not they should stay. And we also have program directors meetings. We're having them a bit more frequently than we've had them in the past, where suggestions come up for different programs. And that's how we do it. Plus, we take a look at some of the literature that's out about what is doing well in other places.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to thank both Indra and Renard for being here and talking. And I certainly appreciate Indra's insights. And the former business manager, I know, in the finance committee, she's been a very strong person here. And I know over the years with Joe Farmer, GM, I know she filled in, basically helped, I understand, a lot of things together in a period of time. So I certainly like to thank support member, your hard work and you being there to help support things that are there. The question, I had questions, but Rosalinda asked that question, so it's been covered. But now that going on to programming and the point that Andrew had made and the point that you made, Bernard, about you not being involved in the program. And so my question is that the number of days of fund drive, the days have increased to about 90, projected about 90 this year also. So we want to know, what are you doing in terms of programming, in terms of reducing the number of days spent on the air, and how to protect both the staff and the listeners from these extended fund drives?
Okay. It's a two-pronged attack that we have. One is that I've been struggling to try and reshape the way we do our fundraisers. There is some sentiment among the staff, among the department heads, that what we need to do is let each of the producers stay in their own time slots and work and do the fundraising that way, which means they come on for an hour. By the time they really develop some momentum, that hour's over and we go on to the next program. My position is that since we are premium driven, that what we need to do is begin to allocate time to really address and deal with some of the premiums that we have. For instance, there should be no program that's less than 2 hours, because it takes that amount of time in New York City to develop the momentum which really brings in a lot of the revenue. And I think that now, I think that many of the department heads see that that is the best way. In fact, many of the producers who did 1 hour programs this time and came in with a lot smaller figure are interested in not doing that again and making it a longer, having a longer opportunity on the air. Secondly, we have developed we're developing a premium protocol. I've written a draft for a premium protocol. We've had a meeting already, which means we'll be able to reduce the amount of premiums, we'll be able to target in on specific premiums, and I think that we'll be able to generate a lot more money, not by bringing in a whole bunch of premiums, but identifying those which render the greatest amount of revenue and using them more frequently.
Just a quick follow-up. So do you have targets in terms of the next fund drive? Instead of 26 days,
or
I believe that was the last
time,
do you have a target?
We haven't discussed that yet, but I think that's an excellent idea.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to sort of reverse the kind of inquiry going on. I think that I've heard reports about each of our network, each of our stations, having a multiple set of problems one way or the other with both their LSB members, as well as we have the same thing. We have people who approach the issue, any issue that we have, they approach it by emails and other kinds of things. And I think that we, as directors, as was explained to us in January at the board meeting in Washington, that we have to care for this network. So it appears to me that what I'd like to hear from both of you. What kind of activities that you have that you think you can bring about an improvement in the situation? What is the work that can be done that can overall deal with some of these problems? And what can the board do to help offset, particularly the slander that goes on around the stations and the failure to have a constructive dialogue, as I think Greg has pointed out, not just at BAI, but that's a question that every station needs to look at, because it appears to me that I just have some negative thoughts about people who persist in disruption all the time and persist in slander and persist in these things. This is an attack on the network. It's been around for some years. And it appears to me that we have an obligation, given the right-wing onslaught that we have in this country, led by the Bush administration and other right-wing forces, that we are operating not in a vacuum. We're caught right in the middle of a very serious situation that threatens our liberties in the United United States, and it seemed to me the Pacific had a special role there. So my question would be, how do we address some of those kinds of situations, and how do we help fashion and work in Pacifica to make it an effective instrument for social change?
I suspect that we are a little bit different from the other stations in terms of our audience. And I feel that we've basically marginalized most of our arts and music shows, and that's one of the reasons why we are not meeting our goals, because our sister stations are all doing almost a 50-50 arts and culture and public affairs, whereas ours is just we are doing 85% public affairs and just a 15% arts and music. And those slots, we do the music, it's like from midnight to 4 in the morning where no one is listening, or it's on a Sunday. So I feel that we need, as our E.E. said, some arts and music to heal some of the money problems. And that's what I would think that we need at WBA. So again, it goes back to restructuring of some programs.
Well, I would say just look at WBA's program schedule and you'll see where the music college programs are located. Secondly, I think that yesterday was the beginning. I think that one of the things that this board, I thought that the program that you did yesterday on about race, I think that was extremely important. I think out of that has to come some institution-wide activities to begin to sensitize everybody to some of the excesses that we are all subject to. So I think that as you continue to move forward, it will have a trickle-down effect locally. I think what we have to begin to do is have more meetings where we have frank, open, and honest discussions about what's going on and where we want to take the radio station into this next century.
And in that spirit, I want to ask the board something. There have been a number of people since you started around who have now told me they have just one quick thing. I personally think this is a very productive discussion. I asked the affiliates coordinator and our tech person whether they would consent to giving their reports tomorrow. He was offered to reduce by 15 minutes. I'd like to suggest to the board that we start our executive session tomorrow night at 9, but at 8. An hour and a half in executive session. It's either that or be here till 10. I'm personally tired. I don't know about the rest of you. That's the alternative, to go late, but we have an event tonight. Tomorrow's a much shorter agenda. We've been at this, you will have been at this over 12 hours by the end of the day. So I want to suggest that we agree to meet at 8 a.m. for an executive session that would last an hour and a half, come back and have the tech and the affiliates at that time, and then continue with our agenda for that day. Continue with this for about another 15 minutes, and Eva has agreed to foreshorten her presentation to 15 minutes, which would get us done in the appropriate amount of time and give us that added time. My concern is that if we come in at 9, I still think that the number of things that we're going to have in executive session may cause us to spill over. Then we're running behind all day. We've already put a number of things into unfinished business and new business tomorrow. So we have to bite the bullet somewhere. Would the board accept being here at 8 a.m. tomorrow and following that schedule?
Yes.
Thank you very much for your forbearance. Okay, with that, we're coming around. Did you have something else?
Thank you all. I'll say it's thank you for stretching it out. Hopefully, it's an uncharacteristic format, but hopefully with both of you getting to say all of this and having all of us here to help out in some way.
And this won't be an uncharacteristic format. We're going to do this at every meeting. We're going to rotate the focus so we really get into things, so we don't have to deal with this with a torrent of emails when we get home not having discussed anything. I'm going to go to Sarb, then Lydia, then Ken, and then we're going to finish with the remaining New York directors who haven't spoken.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I appreciate you coming here. Bernard, what stands out in my mind is that somebody said that you did on the Latino program that they were not consulted, and that somehow, you know, you said that you had them participate in it. What caused this? You know, what's underlying the reason, in your opinion? What is it if you guys, if you have not reduced any programs hours, and you were adding, you said half hour into a 4 hour segment?
So it's an hour.
An hour out of 4 hour segment.
Right.
And also, did you, is it customary for the program director, when they make decisions like that, that it has to go through the gentleman at IGN, or, you know, in the past, has it been the tradition or custom?
Not at WBAI, that has not been the tradition. However, we do have discussions about it, but there's no formal process that it has to go through at BAI. But we're supposed to be having ongoing discussions, but this is not a program that was placed, you know. What happens is when you get a program, you're notified that this is your program, this is your end time, this is what I expected. That's not, we hadn't reached that stage yet.
Indra, you said that you think that all these things are happening to you because you're a woman. A lot of things are happening to you because of women.
Yes.
What leads you to that conclusion?
Because every time I try to broach a subject about changes and about preemptions and special programming, I'm being verbally abused.
And you think it's because?
I think it, yes.
And you told them that not to do that? You have general manager there?
We try to have dialogue.
I have a question.
Listen, it's my turn. What I'm amazed at is that our executive director here, he spoke here for 20, 30 minutes, and he did an outstanding job in trying to articulate the mission of this network. It is not primarily about one item or another. It's not about public affairs. It's not about music alone. It's not about drama, literature, anything like that. It's the totality of all the elements that go into making a person human. Now, is that mission at each one of the stations, do they have full appreciation of that mission and adjusting their programs to make sure that that happens? And Bernard, I would like your opinion on it.
Adjusting our programs to make sure
that all elements that are captured in the mission of the network, as articulated very eloquently by our executive director here, that it's not only about public affairs, it's about music, art, literature, all the combined elements that go into fulfilling the Pacific Commission.
Well, all of the programs that, as program director, you always inherit the results of other program directors' efforts. All of the programs that I have been directly involved with in putting on have been in compliance with our mission.
Capturing the totality of it? Or have you been putting all the programs that are strictly public affairs? Because that's what I heard. I heard that most of the programs on WBAI are public affairs type.
Well, yeah, and if that's historically been the case, most of our programs have been public affairs. We have had a reduction in music programming, and I've been talking to the arts director for the longest about trying to bring in some arts programming that would, increase the, that would be worthy of being put on the air on a regular basis. We live in the, what might be the arts capital of the world, and I've been saying for the longest, because I just don't have the time to do it, that we need to be going out and talking to many of the arts community to see if we can encourage them to come in and partner with us in doing programs on
WBAI. Well, thank you,
Ms.
Lydia?
Yes, just if you can clarify, Mark, because of course, yes, as you know, we've heard it all. In terms of the Spanish programming or the Latino programming, when you have added shows, how many have been taken off, or has that happened? In other words, so what is your net total of additions, both in the number of programs as well as in hours of programming?
There was one program that was taken off, and all the rest that I've talked about have been added. Okay, at least here we have, and that game should be at least three. Each program is at least an hour in length. So it's 3 hours. Weekly.
Thank you. I suppose this question is primarily for Bernard, but if Indira has another take on it, I'd be interested in her response too. Democracy Now! Is produced in New York at 6 a.m., I believe. It's a live broadcast, correct?
No, it's not. It's at 9 o'clock, it was open. Yeah.
Why is it available here in KPFT at 7 a.m.? Not broadcast live. No, I'm not asking what time you broadcast it. I'm asking what time is it available on feed.
8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock, yeah.
New York, 7 o'clock.
Okay, 8 o'clock is still dry time. And I've never been able to understand why it's produced so that it could be broadcast at dry time, but it's not broadcast until 9 o'clock when I think most people are at work. And I just wonder and I know that at one time that was mandated, but now that it's no longer mandated, I wonder why it's still being broadcast at an hour delay.
Well, first of all, they make it available in an hour delay, so just because they know that people don't all use it at the same time. And we have a program called Wake Up Call that was on in the morning that does well for us. And the amount of people that are listening, it starts at 6 in the morning, and at most radio stations it drops off at 9 o'clock. For us, it continues to go up at 9 o'clock, and then it doesn't drop off until around
9 o'clock. I suggested that might be because the Democracy Now! Is at 9 o'clock, but I think that if you put it on at 8 just as an experiment, you might find over time that, I'm just suggesting it's a possibility that it would start peaking around 8 o'clock.
It's a gradual peak, it gradually goes up for that entire time.
I see. Do you ever take on a branch test?
I would actually like to see it at 8 because I think we'll benefit from it more as far as revenue goes.
I'm going to finish with the New York directors. Before I do, I have a couple of things I'd like to say. One is that one's just a quick technical thing, which is I think one of the things that's hurting all our stations is our format for public affairs is all host guests. It's just host guests, host guests. Doesn't matter what the show is, doesn't matter what the topic is. And that's because actually additional production work is a ton of work. And when we move to more frequent shows, we just don't have the money in our budgets to pay people to do the kind of production that you need. So to my mind, what you need to do is radically increase the number of people participating so you can get the level, and that's on the volunteer side, so you can get the level of production. But that's like this gradual process of growing that that whole ecology up in a place that kind of fits that by our coup. We used to, here in L.A., we used to have a lot more people that could be involved in production. So one question is just a quick question about any strategies you have for improving the level of production values in programming, recognizing that we can't afford to pay, producers with full-time jobs to do that. That's one. I'll answer my own question partly by saying those computers need to get out to places in the community where people who are excited about producing need to, get going with it, and I hope you'd support that as PD. The other thing is just one about getting along. I get the feeling there are a lot of people in New York who are really intensely supportive of you, who've mobilized to defend you against what they feel are challenges to your role as program director. And I personally don't know the situation in New York, and I know enough about Pacifica not to take what I hear from any side as the truth. But I don't see Indra as a person who is a representative of a faction. And I would be willing to guess that some of the heat she takes is people who sense a challenge to you, who are angry at her about that. I could be wrong, and you guys can correct me. But you're getting along and having some open communication is, to my mind, right now the only key to de-escalating the fight in New York. So I'd like to hear from each of you what you're going to do in the next couple of months for the benefit of the station and network to de-escalate this war that I keep hearing getting flack from.
You know, what I think happens, and it's unfortunate, is that, you know, at Pacifica, when we discuss radio, we all have our views about radio, and sometimes we can be quite passionate about it. You can't take that passion as an attack. You can't take that someone disagrees with you as an attack. We all have our points of view, and we need to be able to express them. I'm not attacking. I don't start my style. I don't do that.
I want to say, what I'm asking is, you guys don't have, my impression is, you guys do not have a strong enough working relationship. And what I'd like to know is what steps can be taken to make that relationship work in a way, because when that starts to work better than it's working now, that's going to tone down at least some of the conflict. And that's what I want to see happen. I don't know what the rest of the board wants. We can't mandate you to do it. We can't order you to do it. But I'd like to hear what steps could be taken in the next quarter so that by the time we meet in your fair city, things will be at a somewhat different tenor and not this fever pitch that we keep getting. Linda, do you want to come in?
Yes. I beg to disagree about programming that because I do not have a show or be in the air, and that I do not know radio. I think that's a fallacy. Managing our resources is what I'm good at, and the airwaves is our resource. The radio programs are our resource, and we have to manage them in a way where we can maximize revenue. And in order to do that, last time I checked my job description, it says my job is to oversee the entire station. I was told the other day by a board member that my job is to just organize personnel and personnel issues. I don't have any business in the radio department. And actually, right now, a movement is being organized to take away from my job description to manage the program director. So they're trying now to change my job description. So, you know, this is what I have to deal with. No inclusion in programming. My job description says I do have control, and I think all the other managers will say that the IGM regime has control over managing the resources, and I don't have that privilege yet.
I appreciate what you just said. So to me, that confirms that there's a gulf between you. But my question was, what's going to be done in the next quarter to bridge the gulf between you?
For it to work, you really have to have a united
front. I think that what we have to do, and I've suggested to him around several occasions, is we need to sit down and talk.
But you walk away every time you sit down to talk. You walk away and you exercise the passion you talk about.
I walk away at the point that we both wind up repeating over and over our same positions. At that point,
would you each be willing to engage in some mediation with some
mutually
agreeable to you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to finish with the New York directors.
Thank you. Well, a couple of things. What my understanding was is that the new program sits on top of the two Latino programs already in place. On Sunday there is right now a 4-hour block, and it is shared by basically three programs, and you're putting a fourth one on top of it. As far as the women's thing, I'm a little troubled because women's programming is 2 hours a month, and the largest minority for disabled people is 1 hour a month. So I think real diversity at the station is that we really need to examine that. I really don't, I think there's a problem. I believe Indra is a business manager, not a bookkeeper, so that really bothered me. And programming is all we have, and so I tried to hand you a form about, Bernard, about our fundraising things, and you wouldn't take it from me, but we're really in trouble here when we're raising funds one day out of every four. And we have not had a successful fund drive for a while, so I'm just wondering, do you have any, what's the plan here for the financial situation here? And to blame one person, while I do not agree with these, I also denounce the language in the document that was passed around. I do denounce it, but that amount of people receiving an email, even on a regular basis, cannot account for 92 days of fundraising. So I'm wondering is there any ability for any self-critique here as to why we're not doing so well with the programming? Because I haven't heard self-critique, and I think we all have to do that if we're going to move forward.
I can agree with that. But I think that, as I said in the very beginning, that we have to put this in the proper context. Our bills have gone up almost geometrically. We're paying $650,000 a year for rent. That's ridiculous. We should not be paying that amount of money. There were times when our fund drives were, when we were to do a May fund drive, it would be $300,000, $350,000. Now, each time we go out for a fund drive, it's $1 million. There are, one of the things that I'm trying to do, we're working on doing, is to, in terms of customer service. One of the reasons why we have had some problems is that we have not been delivering our premiums to people in a timely manner. We have to turn that around. When people don't get their premiums, they don't want to re-up, they don't want to stay a member of the radio station. As I said, or would have said if I could have read the rest of my report, that we're trying to tighten up our approach to the to laying out the fund drives so that we maximize the amount of time that we're on. We generally start out at the end of a week of having all of the producers come on for a one-hour program, and we start out the next week at a deficit. I believe that if we restructure how we approach it and how we execute it, that we can begin to stay apace of what it is, of what our weekly goal is. In addition to that, hey, I'm not perfect. I never planned to be perfect. I'm learning, I'm doing things. You also can only work with what you have. You have to make adjustments with what you have to work with. And I'm doing that too. But I don't claim to be perfect. I don't claim to have all the answers. We have a staff, and we collectively try and come up with how we work.
Yeah, well, I thank you both for being here. I think it's an opportunity for us to air some of that laundry and hopefully move forward properly. However, I disagree with part of the step and the executive director that we are ripping each other apart. We are the reason of that, but some of it is political. And I've been told by people who oppose my views at the station that if I try to reach out to the community, the dirty word, or not bring the labor union, somehow I'm trying to use that those contacts for personal gain. I beg to differ. To me, a station is not just a set of process. It's not a process. An election that's been done completely perfectly, that resulted in no women elected at the WBI board, would be completely useless to me. And that is part of what my concept of democracy is. It's not just to go to step, but to include it. It's a living organism. Now, as we're moving forward, I think the last statement that Ingram made, the general manager, is indication that this is part of the problem. It is clear that there's no way anybody could remove from the manager's position the right to run everybody else is below her position. So clearly it's a rumor that is false. And I'm assuming that's why he told you that, Ingram. And it's ridiculous. I would personally oppose such a thing. I never heard of it before. So this is what has to stop also. There's a constant set of distortion of allegations, and we have to get to put an end to that. And people, I'm assuming, I heard an individual yesterday read a document about programming at WBAI for Latino programming without knowing what's going on there whatsoever. I personally favor the process at WBAI anywhere in any station that is much more inclusive, where the general manager is part of decision making as to what's on the air, and the staff and some listeners. And that's my thinking. However, they've been attacked. I have coworkers who told me they don't want to contribute because they're fighting. They don't want to hear about the fighting to begin with. So this is the program director. We have one board, one of station program, very popular, has been removed for whatever reason, and who allowed a local board member to put on his website that they should, after listening to his show, they should turn on to some other station. And not to give money to that station. That's calling for a boycott of WBI. And that is part of the problem. Now, so as we move forward, I submit to you that I will not stop bringing community issues because this is what brought me to WBI. And the struggle for justice we're talking about involves real people and real communities. It is not just a matter of following procedures and Robert's rule of order. And so therefore, if you want to take me on, fine, let's do so. So what I'm suggesting is that we build on what we've done so far. And I'm hoping that people are more because I expect that some of you, Father Bernard, would have walked in here with horns, because of what we have heard earlier. And obviously, the picture is much more complex than we have heard earlier. And without giving up on any political story that we're involved in, that I think that's an excellent position that we have to our institutions and have some kind of format to have this issue discussed properly. I don't know if you want to add to. I'm sorry, I know I took the time that I should be using partially to last question. So I know that Bernard at some point started saying something about a radio a program that I thought was useful to me. And I don't know if you want to continue on that. The prison show. I just have to say quickly before that, Palogram is a very old problem of programmers not wanting to give up hours. There was a time when there were on a Sunday, there would be, I believe, maybe 8 hours of Spanish music. I love as much as I like it. Some people are supposed to tell me that they should just turn off to it somewhere else, and maybe they didn't come back. So when two individuals have 4 hours, and you want to take half an hour from each, they resist it, and that is part, we have to realize, that is part of what's going on. And I'm asking that this process be done with due respect that those individuals have an impact on, but we have to realize that this is part of the problem. So I don't know if you want to mention anything about that.
Well, I think you covered it all. There's a whole culture, and I think it's endemic in Pacifica, that people, after they've been on the air for a while, feel that that time belongs to them, and that nobody can take it away from them for whatever reason. And that is a problem. And what happens at WBAI is they form coalitions, they involve the community, they use the airwaves to organize to protect that time slot.
Okay, Bob, you've already gone, right? Yeah.
Okay, I stepped
out
for
a minute.
Bob, it's you, and then we're moving on to
you. Okay, two questions. One is, I believe that Indra's comment about what she described as an effort to change her job description was a reference to a discussion that happened last week in the General Manager Search Subcommittee, which is the body that's charged by the LSB to begin the search for a permanent general manager. It's not a committee that reviews the current interim general manager's work. And that discussion was looking at the past job description that used the phrase established programming goals and starting to explore and not having made decisions, my understanding is, simply whether that should be broadened to say something about working collaboratively with the program director to establish goals. to make it clear what I believe, and I want to ask Bernard this, has been the traditional relationship between the GM and the PD in terms of establishing programming goals. How has that been, you know, over the years as you understand it?
Traditionally, it has been one where the PD and the station manager sits down and has discussions about what it is that they want to accomplish. After those discussions, it is the station manager would then discuss it with the local board, and the PD would then begin to discuss it with the staff and make attempts to implement it. Because at that point, we had, the board was primarily advisory, so they didn't have the kind of latitude that the present board had.
Now, just to turn the second question to Indra. My colleague in the premiums department made a very serious allegation, a very troubling allegation about not only the attacks on him, which I had known about many months ago, but that this individual came into the station again, which is indeed quite disturbing. And I've been told that our LSB chair intends to call an executive session to deal with that and the general situation. So my question to Indra is, last June, our LSB had a serious discussion of all the allegations swirling and clear evidence that there have been misconduct by certain staff members and abusive behavior. And so we were looking for a systemic approach to this. And what we passed was a call on you as interim general manager to compile a report on your assessment of the situation in terms of unsafe working environment and the steps that could be taken to improve that and provide protection and safeguards. And I wondered when you think you might be able to provide that report to the LSB.
Well, last June I had just started, and I don't even recall that request, but I have taken actions to reduce the amount of violence at the station. And also we had a mediation session with two other issues that were going on at that time. But I don't know if I was supposed to come out of it, I don't recall. Because June I had just started like 2 weeks.
Okay, well,
I would certainly try to do a report on what actions have been taken so far.
Okay.
And what are the protocols for that kind of action.
Okay. I believe Ambrose has a question.
Mr. Chair, throughout this day we heard a number of allegations that put this foundation at legal risk. So I'm moving that this board direct the ED to do an assessment of what happened at the VAI in terms of abuse and intimidation and report back to this board officially in executive session. It's awfully important that we do this. We're in serious legal jeopardy.
Could you also add to that that we heard discussions about other issues of mismanagement? Can we include those as well?
I don't want to confuse it.
Okay. So, all right.
Second.
There's a second. Can we go straight to a vote on this? Hey, Greg, you may want to hear this. The board, there's a motion before the board to direct you to do something.
We hereby direct the ED to initiate a review of the allegations you heard today regarding abuse and intimidation at WBI and report back to PMD in executive session at some
later meeting. Okay, no deadline though at this point.
No.
Some later meeting.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning goes straight to
the board.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Last night has been good. Right?
Okay. Since we don't have any further time, I'm just going to bring this to a vote. All those in favor, please raise your hand.
Point.
And that no? Any no's?
Very, very quickly, during the course of this exchange, both the general manager and the PD agreed to mediation.
No,
did you not?
Yes,
no, was the first one to agree. Yeah.
You were the first one to agree.
Yes, so,
yeah.
That's fine. Then we can ask.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, without going to a motion, inasmuch as both agreed immediately to mediation, that we just be aware of that, and we also informally at this moment explain, you know, to the executive director that they have agreed to mediation, and that has to be arranged.
Great. Thank you very much. All right, so next we have Eva for 15 minutes. We also have time in tomorrow's agenda. Is Eva in the room?
No.